Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. And we're glad to be in God's midst. You know, I was sitting toward the end of the worship, and I noticed something that I'm sure you did as well. And it was just a disturbance in the building. I wasn't going to say anything, but I noticed that Corbin was playing the drums. It bothered me. Y'all know, you noticed that? Yeah. And he had the nerve to have a little like Corbin cam while he was playing. Y'all, did y'all see, look, there's a little camera. It was like zooming in and out while he was playing the drums. I'm like, who wants to zoom in on Corbin? It bothered me. And I just want to let everybody know and let Corbin know, you're not better than me just because you play a bunch of instruments and you sing on the praise scene. I've had it with him. I didn't even have that in my notes. I just bothered, it disturbed my spirit, you understand? So Corbin, wherever you are, I'm excited. You know, when you come and preach at Northeast, I don't know if y'all knew this, but you know, Tyler's so kind when he asked me, he was like, hey, you know, he says, brother, man, I just know you have a word to bless the house. And he gets me all amped up and excited. And then he's like, you know, you're going to preach at 9, and then you're going to take a space shuttle to Mars. You're going to preach on Mars, and then you're going to go down to the depths of hell with a water pistol, and you're going to be like, blah, 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 blah. So me and Tyler are through. Had it in him. He even stalked me at the gym the other day, y'all. I was at the Y minding my own business, and who walks into the sauna but Tyler? I said, look at this Mars preaching somebody. Had it with him. So Corbin, Tyler, out of my life. I got 2 openings on my friend's circle. Holler at me after service. All right, I got one right here in the front. All right, one slot left. Hey, listen, y'all got to act fast. You got to act fast, you know. I only had 2 slots. Y'all just trying to be, you know, civilized. You missed out. So all of this could have been yours. Now you don't have it. Anyway, I'm here to provide one of the closing sermons to our study on the book of Galatians. Over the last couple months, you've been kind of stepping through a lot of the things that have been taught as Paul writes this letter to the church at Galatia, right? He's talking and dialoguing, setting some things in order. And all the things up until this point have communicated all of these good things about what Jesus Christ did for us. Talks about things like justification and sanctification, all these good that came from the cause of Christ. Then Tyler emails me and says, I want you to talk about perseverance. I'm like, you raggedy somebody, you. Because one thing I know is that the commonality that we all face is that each one of us goes through trial. Everybody goes through a storm. That storms are non-discriminatory, that it touches black people and white people, tall people and short people. It affects people with long hair and then the great ones of life. It's non-discriminatory. and you find it displayed in music. There's an artist named Alanis Morissette, and she wrote a song called Ironic. If you know the song, it rings true sometimes in our lives. It says, an old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day. The chorus said, it's like rain on your wedding day. It's the free ride when you're already paid. It's the good advice that you just didn't take. And who would have thought it figures? And sometimes I found that each one of us are living in this irony-filled life, that our intentions and our situation don't always come in harmony, that we can feel like the problems and the pain in our life are picking on us, and I don't think Paul felt any differently. He comes and he's communicating at the close of his letter that while he was writing this letter, he's writing the letter to the church, and there are people who are actively lobbying at the church that Paul has no business even setting foot in the church, much less writing a letter of correction. And this is what Paul says in Galatians 6, 17, and 18. Now, I'm going to read it from not necessarily King James Version. I'm going to read it from the LeBron James Version. It's going to read a little differently than your Bible. But Paul says, from now on, don't nobody say nothing to me. I done had it with y'all. That's not quite what it says. Let me go back to the real version. It says, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit, brothers and sisters. To that we say, amen. Today, I really want to focus on persevering storms, or what you need to be reminded in the midst of your storm. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the midst of this manner. Paul was blinded, imprisoned, beaten, and ostracized for just being associated with Christ. Now, I want you to tell me you're having a bad day. Most of us as Christians, the most difficult thing we will go through is worrying about if somebody tries to cancel us. And the truth of the matter is, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love, as Galatians teaches us. The only thing that counts is how we approach this life for Christ and endure our storms. Today, I'm going to try to help you get through your trials. Anybody else like me and got a few trials? Got a few difficulties? Well, I'm going to try to help us today. The first thing that I want to use to help us to go through the storms of our lives, to persevere the difficulty of our life, is a reminder that God is good. Can y'all say that with me? Say, God is good. God is good. Y'all did a good job. We didn't practice or nothing. Just boom, first try. All right. But the reason why I like to remind people that God is good is because we need to be reminded that God is good when circumstances aren't. When your situations aren't favorable, you need to know that God is still good in the midst of those situations. Romans 8:28 says that all things are working together for my good, those who are called according to his purpose, that everything in our life is working for our benefit. But at the time it's working, it doesn't seem beneficial. I want to apologize on behalf of all Christians who communicated to us that just because you associated yourself with Christ, that means things would be easy. I'm sorry, we false advertised. We did not communicate appropriately, even according to what the Bible says. The Bible says it like this: in this life, you will have tribulation. I'm like, ain't nobody tell me that when I got ready to get baptized. What happened to all them blessings y'all was talking about? You know, praises go up, blessings come down. He showers down like rain. Where are they rain at? But what I found is when I committed my life to Christ, that my problems didn't go away, but my help did increase. I still got problems, but I got aid in the midst of my problems that no matter what I go through, God is with me. I want to remind you that God is good. He's good. The reason I think we need to be reminded that God is good is sometimes we have to live off of that memory of who God is. A lady taught a men's class that I was in, had the privilege to sit under a teacher. She was teaching a class on how a man should treat his wife. I think we need that class today. Some of y'all women are nodding your head like, amen. And said nothing all day. And now you're over there going, oh, Lord, thank you. But she was teaching this class how to appropriately treat the woman in your life. And one of the things she said is she had been married for 60 years. And her husband had passed. His husband had been dead almost 10 years old. Here this woman is, 90 years old. She opened the floor for question and answer. And I asked her this question. I said, your husband been dead over a decade. Did you ever think about getting married again? She paused, she thought about it, and she said, my husband loved me so appropriately when he was alive. I can live the rest of my days off the memory of how he loved me. Whew. Swoon. I clutched my pearls. I was overwhelmed. I said, oh my God. And I thought about, what if we serve God that same way? That if I just think about what God did for me yesterday, it's enough for me to rejoice in him forevermore. Just based on what he did yesterday, I can praise him for a lifetime because of how good God is. God is good. I'm reminded of his goodness even when things aren't. God has been consistently good over the course of my life. I'm convinced that life isn't fair, but thankfully, God is good, because if life were fair, God would give us what we deserve. Ooh, ain't that scary? I almost ran out of here just thinking about the possibility of God giving us what we deserve. Check this out. What if we had to qualify to get breath? What if we had to walk up anytime we took a breath and had to convince God that we are worthy of the breath we breathe? Your resume don't look that good, does it now? You're like, well, yesterday I prayed over my Chipotle meal. Does that count? Right? But think about just living in the goodness of God. The Bible says in Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then it says, surely, what does it say follows you? Goodness and mercy. No matter where you are, even in a valley of death, his goodness is with you. Some of us who are in the midst of the storm right now, you need to know that God is still good even in your valley. God is still good even in your storm, that he is consistently good no matter what happens in our life. Life isn't fair, but God is. He's good. I got more. Y'all want more? I was gonna give it whether y'all said yes or not. But you know, sometimes you feel like you're participating, you know, you get all hyped up. God is good, but also when I encourage you to persevere through your storms, and as a reminder, not only is God good, but God's mercy endures. His mercy endures. Every time I talk about God's mercy, I get excited. And the reason I get excited is because I've been told, mainly by my wife on a consistent basis, that I'm not perfect. Now, don't get it twisted. She's absolutely wrong. But she reminds me frequently that I'm not perfect. I think that when I watched Mary Poppins and she said practically perfect in every way, this guy. That's what she was talking about right here. But much to my chagrin, sometimes I fail. How about you? I fail sometimes. Have you? I fall. Have you? I don't make all of my commitments. What about you? Have there been times that you wanted to do something and fell short of what you expected of yourself, that you failed other people, or you failed yourself, or you disappointed God, or you disappointed a friend? Have there been times in your life that you fell short? The mercy of God is the landing bed of our errors. It's the place where He allows our flaws, but that our flaws don't become fatal. Some of us need to understand that your problem didn't disconnect you from your purpose, that your danger didn't disqualify you from your destiny, that God is still in the process of blessing you. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. We need to know about God's mercy because it's the mercy of God that helps frame how we treat other people. Because if we knew that God gave us His mercy, we wouldn't be so judgmental on others. Did you know that we are only, my pastor used to say it like this, we're just simply dust pockets. On our best day, we stink. I'm not trying to be offensive to you, but you smell. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but in the midst of a holy God who has a sweet aroma, our sin stinks. And it's His mercy that covers our odor. Not like a middle schooler putting on deodorant without a shower. That's not what I'm talking about. Wasn't that an arresting image that you just got? I can tell everybody that got a middle school kid. They was like, oh Lord. What do they do at school to make them come back smelling like that? Have y'all ever wondered? I'm like, well, y'all in combat? You smell like Beirut right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm distracted, but anyway. But in the storms of our lives, the truth of it is we all stand in need of God's mercy. Why? Because on our best day, we fall short. Think about it like this. The Bible says, this same Paul that we're talking about, he says, when I would do good, evil is all around. He says that when I want to do right, I still find myself doing wrong. And he says that he is unworthy of God's love. Now, if the guy who wrote the Bible feels unworthy, what I'm going to do? I told him, I went to the nursing home last week. And he wrote the Bible and he feels unworthy. I have to be mindful that every stretch of my day is that I stand in need of His mercy. The Bible said if it had not been for the mercy of God, we would have all been consumed. But His mercies are new every moment, morning. And because of that, great is His faithfulness. Why did we need new mercies today? It's because the mercies from yesterday, we spent them all. We spent them all. We used up all the currency from our yesterday, and we needed God to provide us another day. And so the only proof you need to give God praise is this morning. I'm going to say it again because y'all didn't really catch it. Yeah, it's okay. The only proof you need to give God praise is called this morning. If last night wasn't your last night and you saw a this morning, you should wake up giving God all the praise, glory, and honor because you know He announced a stay of execution. We had done enough to die yesterday. We were sick enough to die, but He gave us another day, and the least we can do is say, thank you, God, because God is good and His mercy endures. God blesses us in spite of us. I got a question. Anybody in here have bad friends? Y'all don't have to raise your hand and point them out or nothing. I mean, somebody over here was like, I didn't ask you to do all that, sir. I mean, Anybody in here? I have a friend. I think they're still my friend. I'm undecided. But in 2003, they agreed to come and help me move and never showed up. It was over 20 years ago. I'm still mad about it to this day. As a matter of fact, if they stood right in front of me in the midst of this sermon, I would smack their face in front of all of you on camera. I would use Corbin's drum cam and zoom in and smack them in the face. I was bothered because they fell short of my expectations, and then I was reminded that I fall short of God's expectations of me every day. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, because I have been preaching for 20 plus years, I'm going to give that to you in the Hebrew. Y'all ready to get this in the Hebrew? All in the Hebrew means all. Because I'm sophisticated and I know the Bible and I did the seminary thing and all that stuff, I'm going to give it to you in the Greek. Are y'all ready? All in the Greek means all. Because I'm a Southern boy, I'm going to give it to you from the South. All means everybody. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that all of us are stuck on the same floor in the same building, not able to ascend to what God wants for us because we are short of his expectation of us. Why are we still living? It's because of his mercy. It is because of the mercy of God that we have not been consumed. God has not given us an expiration date because his mercy holds our punishment for him to grace us with his love. That's called perseverance. You're going through, but not yet fatal, just because you fail. The storms of your life are developing us because God is good. And his mercy endures. His mercy is the landing bed for our errors. But I got one more thing. Y'all got time for one more thing? All right. Yeah. I'm going to hurry up and finish because I'm hungry. Anybody have something? I didn't know I was hungry when I got up. It was in the middle of his, I was talking about his mercy, and I was like, mercy begins with M, so does McDonald's. That's when I knew I had gotten distracted in my sermon. But look, not only is God good and his mercy endures, I'm convinced that the most important attribute of God is that God is faithful. Can you say that with me? Say faithful.
Faithful.
He is faithful. The faithfulness of God is by far the most important attribute of God. And I want to explain to you why. Because there are other entities that are every other attribute of God. Let me explain. God is love, but there are other entities or people that are loving. I got a husky. My husky's loving. But my husky's also moody, much like my kids and my wife. But we're not gonna talk about that. I would never say that publicly about my kids and my wife, that my kids and my wife are moody. I would never confess that in front of a group of people. That would be embarrassing for me to say that my wife and my children are moody in front of some people, especially people I don't know. I would never do that. But my dog loves me, but some days he don't really mess with me like that. My kids love me. Some days they don't text me back. Now, I might throw my phone across the room when that happens, but stay focused. There are other entities that are loving. There are other entities that are kind. God is kind. God is patient. There are other aspects of my life where I have patience, I have kindness, I have love. The difference between God and everybody else is that God is always loving. He is always kind. He is always patient. The faithfulness of God is the glue that holds the attributes of every other thing God is in place. It is the delineating factor between God and everybody else. Thanks be to God that his love didn't stop. Thanks be to God that I can trust his word. Thanks be to God that he is consistent with his love for me, that no matter what I go through, his love is steady. Don't y'all need that? If you've ever had people fail you in life, you need to know that God is steady and he won't fail you. If you've ever been abandoned by people who've made commitments, you need to know that God is faithful. God is faithful, and that's why we love him. I'm convinced that in the midst of the faithfulness of God, just like God faithfully showed forth his love to Paul, he loved him when he was a persecutor. He loved him enough to strike him blind. I know that doesn't seem like good love, right? But if God knocked Paul or Saul off his horse because he loved you. Y'all see that? He loved us so much that he inconvenienced Saul, changed Saul's name, took his sight, broke him down in order for him to say to us, let no man say anything to me because I wear the scars of Christ. The badge that says I'm associated with him, I've gone through for you because God is faithful. You cannot be led unless you're willing to be delivered. Let me say that again. You cannot be led unless you're willing to be delivered. I almost drowned when I was 14. That was a weird segue, wasn't it? I know. I like shock and awe, like, catch off guard. 14 years old, almost drowned. Not the greatest moment of my life. I'm not proud of it, but it happened. And one of the oddest things happened. I was in a pool that had 3 feet, and it sloped down to 8.5 feet. And I was standing on the slope. No, that doesn't even seem logical, but that's what I was doing. I was standing on the slope. I was about 4.5 feet in, standing on the slope. We were playing football in the water. Somebody threw the football at me, and I jumped on the slope. I didn't say I was smart. Your groans are not helping right now. I heard the judgment in the It felt like you dummy. Yeah, I know. But I slipped when I landed, and I lost my balance, and I went under. I kept trying to recover and get my balance, and every time I tried to get my balance right, I would fall again. And I was bothered because nobody was helping me. And I was flailing my arms and feeling overwhelmed by the water, and I could feel just my lung capacity coming to a close. I literally felt like I was dying, and no one was helping. And finally, when I really could fight no more, I just kind of went limp in the water, and my buddy, his name was Edwin. Edwin grabbed me and pulled me out of the water. They pulled me onto the side. They gave me attention, and eventually I was okay. But when I became okay, I was mad. Because I did not understand why they let me flail in that water for so long. And Edwin said, man, your arms were flapping so much. You were throwing everything. I was afraid that if I helped you like that, we both would have drowned. So I had to wait until you stopped fighting. I couldn't save you until you stopped fighting. And when you stopped fighting, immediately I came to your rescue. And God cannot lead you if you don't want to first get delivered. You got to stop fighting him so the faithful God can love you. Don't run from him. Lean into him and allow God to love you right where you are. Quit saying you need to get it together so you can come to God. God don't want you together. That's what he died for. Let him hold you. Surrender your all that God will love you because he still loves you no matter what you're going through. Last verse that I want to share with you is in 2 Corinthians 10 and 13. It says that there is no temptation that has taken you such that is common to man. But God is faithful, that he will not suffer you to be tried above your capability or your ability, that with every trial he will provide a way of escape that you're able to endure it. Somebody say endure. It's a tricky word, that endure. Because sometimes endurance has the definiteness of an end, but the indefiniteness of how long that's going to be. Right? And in this day and age, we've gotten accustomed to ETAs. Isn't that right? I did the 9 o'clock service when we left to go to the Clifton campus. The first thing that we did when we left is we provided them an ETA. When I was on my way here, Brother Jason, I live in Glen Oaks, y'all. I wasn't gonna be late, but at 8:15, Jason was like, "Brother, are you here yet?" I'm like, "Jason, you don't get off my phone, I will hit you with a Bible, Jason, I don't mind. You about to start that sabbatical early, brother." But what we wanted was the assurance that what we expected would actually happen. Are you like that? Where you know it's going to happen, but you need to know specific time frames for what is going to happen because you have a difficulty with the concept of enduring. My wife asked me the other day, she said, "Me and my cousin are going for a walk in the neighborhood. Do you want to go?" I declined. Not because I don't like walking, but because I don't like walking. The reason why I declined is because they like to walk with no expected end. I said, "How long y'all gonna walk?" They said, "Oh, I don't know." I said, "Well, where are you going?" They said, "Just around the neighborhood." I said, "Well, how far is that?" They said, "We just walk until we get tired, then we come home." I said, "See, no, we're built differently, see?" Because you see, if I walk until I get tired, at that point, the walk is over. You understand? Like, that's the end of the walk. You have to go and get help and take me out of where I am. And the way my body's set up, if I don't get no forewarning, it's just... Anybody else like that? The end is the end, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's like, okay, call the bus, because I can't move. And so my problem is not with the terrain. It's not with the trek. The problem is with the time frame, because none of us really want to endure. The Bible says that God is faithful, that no matter what your storm is, no matter what your trial is, he will give you the ability to endure. That when you feel tired and when your legs and your arms feel weak, that God will give you the strength to endure. He will help you make it to the end. Yesterday, I was at a track meet at the Norton Health and Athletic Center. Beautiful place. If you haven't been there, it's over on Muhammad Ali. You need to go by and just see the work that is being done in West Louisville. Awesome place, beautiful facility. I was there at a track meet waiting on one of the kids from the church to run the 200. But before the 200, they had to run the 800. For those of you who don't know, on an indoor track, the 800 is 4 times around the track. There were people in the race that had no business being in the race. I'm not criticizing them babies. God loves them, I'm sure. But he needs to love them in another sport, because long distance running wasn't it. There was one race, 800. Little girl got on the starter's bar. The gun went off. She took off on pace with everybody else. One lap in, she's still on pace. Somewhere in the middle of the second lap, remember, they got four. somewhere in the middle of the second lap, I didn't see it, but I discerned it in the spirit. Someone put a couch on that baby's back. It's the only explanation. In the middle of the second lap, someone threw a sofa sleeper on the baby's back. And so she went from a good pace to just... One while she did this, y'all, on the track. You know that mean the race is over, you know? In the middle of a race, if you do this right here, it's over for you, baby. But on the last lap, everyone else had finished but her. She still had one lap to go, and not really fully realizing that she wasn't on her last lap, when she got to the 100, not the last 100, but the last 100 for everybody else, she thought it was the last 100. She started giving it all she had, but she still had one lap to go. So she's sprinting, giving it all she got, and she crossed, and then they went up and told her probably the most obscene thing that anybody's ever said. They said, "You got one lap to go." You could see it was like a Death Eater had sucked her face off. So she started back running. And the craziest thing happened. Everyone in the stand started standing up. They started clapping and cheering. She was the only one left on the track. She was clearly last place, but at that moment, she was the only one that mattered. And the whole arena was standing, clapping, not helping her to win, but helping her to finish. And the Bible says that because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that the Lord has set before us, the race that God gave to us. You are only responsible for your race, your storm, your problem, and there's a body of believers around you clapping you on, cheering you on, saying, just finish the course. Close the race. It doesn't matter when you finish. Just endure. The pain that you're going through right now is purposeful, because coming down the pike in a time you can't see, there will be somebody that needs the encouragement that are running the race that you're running now. They're entering the race in their first lap, as you're crossing the finish line. They need you to be able to say, God will help you to endure. God is faithful. If the problem came to you, God has already approved that you can handle it. I'm gonna say that again. I'm gonna say it because some of y'all was on your phone, you wasn't listening. Some of y'all hadn't paid attention since I said something about food earlier. Been distracted ever since. But if the problem made it to you, that's how you know you can endure it. Because God has already tested it, and he proved that you're able to bear it. So just hold on. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not my will, but God's will be in me. Be proud of who God called you to be. Stay faithful to his word, and don't let anybody try to disqualify you from walking according to his plan. Because if God called you, he also will perfect you. Patiently wait on him to bring you out of your storm. You just simply have to persevere. Let's pray. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we, your people, stand in the midst of diverse situations. Lord, we know that all things work together for good. Works together for those who are called according to his purpose. Help us to see your purpose in the midst of our pain, that while we fight our plight, that we lean and depend on you. We know, God, that you're faithful to your word, and if you said it, you will bring it to pass. Our prayer to you today is help us to endure. and we'll be careful to give you the praise, and we won't take your credit. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good day.